you even listening to me?
Can I talk to you for a second?
Oh my God, I was dying.
You totally have to hear this. Do you have a minute right now?
It's important, okay? Just keep it on the
dime. Just keep it on the dime.
Really, really need to listen. I feel like you're not hearing me right now. Can you stand here for a second? Bitches, be talk.
Hi, welcome to the Overshare Show. I'm Tony, and today we're going to be talking to Deborah Pascali Bonaro, and she is the producer and director of a film called The Orgasmic Birth. And until I saw this documentary, I have to say I didn't quite know that having an orgasmic birth was possible. It never occurred to me that birth was anything but incredibly painful and somewhat traumatizing to your vaginal area. And I found this concept to be incredibly fascinating because, as we all know, the way you get pregnant is through orgasm. I mean, at least the man has the orgasm, and preferably the lady does too. So the concept of orgasming when you have a baby does make sense in a way, because it's all using the same body parts and plumbing and functionality, but I think there has been a psychological barrier of even considering that as a possibility. And the idea of an orgasmic birth may be somewhat provocative because there's a sexuality to orgasms, and having some sort of sexual connection to your baby as it's coming out of you might make people feel really uncomfortable. At least for me personally, at first I was like, whoa, what's that about? But talking to Deborah and the philosophy and the psychology behind orgasmic birth isn't just about sexuality, but love and bonding and love hormones and all the complexities that go with hormones. I mean, really, it's just like a surge of chemicals that passes through you. Orgasmic birth isn't about coming in some sort of pornographic way, but it's about the experience of pleasure when birthing a child. And I think this is a really, really important thing for women to conceptualize, that birth doesn't have to be this super dramatic medical condition. It's actually a really natural part of your existence. The idea that birth can be orgasmic is paradigm shifting. And there's been a really massive movement around birth and women taking back the birthing experience. And I think Deborah is at the forefront of this type of thinking. And I like the idea of pushing people's buttons and saying, hey, have you ever considered the possibility of your birth being orgasmic? Because it gets the conversation going, and it has people talking about natural birth and doulas and the experience of birth in a way that isn't just focusing on pain and agony and the mother being the martyr. So I hope you guys enjoy this conversation as much as I did. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for being with us. One thing that we were super curious about is the history of the orgasmic birth. Is this something that's been going along for millennium and we just didn't know about it? Or is this more of like a new concept? So tell us a bit about like how you came to know about it and get involved, and what is the history?
Well, I think that orgasmic birth has been something that's been a part of the whole history of, and it should be the her story, right? The female version of birth. But I think that women often didn't talk about it, or if they did, maybe it was, you know, much quieter among just close friends and family. But I believe that birth has been pleasurable for women for a really long time, and that words like bliss, joy, ecstasy, transformation, power, pleasure, orgasmic, were all there. But we came to a time in the her story of birth where we really took away women's power in birth. And we took birth from a social event where women were in their own homes, in their own clothes, surrounded by those that they felt loved and respected, able to have the privacy when they needed it. We took them literally out of their homes into a medical environment and stripped them of their entire support system, of the female circle of support, which was part of the her story, and stripped them of their clothes and literally put women down. And now women are observed. And not to say that there haven't been huge benefits from the technology that has come along with childbirth, but while that saved life for a small percentage, it's actually taking away the opportunity to experience birth to the fullest for many other women, babies, and families that are supporting and a part of the process. So really, when we uncover this, we hear from women all the time. You'd be surprised how many really old women have come up to me and say, you know, I had the most pleasurable birth, but I never told anyone. And I have young women come up to me today and say that I never told anyone, because we've kind of shrouded it in a little bit of shame, or not what the expectation is in today's culture for birth. So I believe it's always been there.
I wonder if some people took it for granted, you know, when we weren't in hospitals having babies, some people took for granted that it was pleasurable. And so that's why it wasn't talked about. And so when it went missing, no one really knew, because it wasn't talked. It was just birth.
Right. No, I do believe that. I think we lost a lot of traditional information and wisdom, even the comfort measures around how to make birth be safer and more pleasurable. So many people today, you know, they think about birth, they think about pain, they think of a woman on her back, and your only choice is either an epidural or pain. And that's not true. We're not giving women the option of so many means to find comfort and pleasure. So I agree with you. We kind of lost all this. We didn't talk about it because it was, so to speak, normal. And then now we've lost that knowledge.
Yeah, there's a lot of fear associated with birth. And actually, Grace and I watched your movie together while we were both pregnant. And what I found really valuable about it wasn't necessarily the fact that I anticipated, oh, maybe I'm going to have like a totally wild orgasmic birth myself, but at least it kind of gave me a different perspective regarding the fear I had around it. And just the fact that knowing an orgasmic birth was possible made me feel in a way like more safe about my future experience.
Wow, that's so great to hear. What an honor that you both saw it when you were pregnant. And, you know, it makes me want to just clarify that the word orgasmic means heightened physical and emotional sensations. So, like, I have my Google alert set to orgasmic. And, you know, every day there's something like the chocolate was orgasmic, or that part of the movie was orgasmic. So it doesn't necessarily mean orgasm. It's broad enough, as we define it in our book, Orgasmic Birth, Your Guide to a Safe, Satisfying Birth, we define it to be broad enough to, you know, include the woman that has a birthgasm or a birth orgasm, but that's a smaller percentage. In the broadest sense, if it's women that really take the power of birth, that are part of the experience to its fullest in whatever it asks of them, and often find moments of pleasure, joy, happiness, ecstasy, bliss, transformation, this whole new vocabulary of pleasure that I agree with you was probably an ancient vocabulary but got lost in the medicalization. And because of our current vocabulary, the fear that you talked about, Tony, is so huge. And it is the elephant in the birth room, because no animal will give birth safely and easily when they're afraid. So the fact that seeing the film allowed you to release some of that fear really helped in the process. And big part of what I say to prepare for a more pleasurable birth is to really look at what are your fears and what is the way to express them, release them, and replace them with confidence.
I had a question about that preparation, because I think a lot of times when people think about preparing for birth, it's very external, making sure you're in a safe medical environment, that the professionals are very, you know, expert, and, you know, you have all the safety, external safety measures. But one of the things I benefited from after watching your the film Orgasmic Birth was that it made me more comfortable. And I feel like that is probably one of the best preparations that you can have to giving birth. And as a result, I think, you know, that's why I gave birth in 3.5 hours, and because I felt very comfortable, and that it was an internal experience. So I wanted you to expand a little bit about preparation and comfort and how that goes into the orgasmic birth.
Yeah, and so important. I'm so glad you asked that. Really important and great question. Well, birth is physical, emotional, and spiritual. And as you said, so often we live in a culture where women are just thinking of it on the physical level and where they need to be, and sadly, turning their body over to medicine. And so they're allowing other people to guide and make the decisions for them. And when we're preparing for what I feel is pleasurable, orgasmic, joyful, transformative birth, it's really about the woman taking the power back and identifying what are her physical, emotional, and spiritual history? What are the things that have brought her pleasure in life? What are the things that have brought us challenge? Because we birth the way we live, and I know, speaking for myself, but most of us, we've had challenges in life. And as we even discuss in the film, for some women, this is past abuse. It could be sexual abuse. It can be past trauma. And in order to live a more pleasurable life, we have to look at our challenges and heal for them. And this is huge preparation in birth, to be able to really look at the things that have been challenging, look at our fears, look at our pain on an emotional level, not only physical, and address it.
Are there any sort of tools or specific questions that you feel like women should answer for themselves in terms of preparing?
Yeah.
Or people.
This is why we went on to write a book. Elizabeth Davis and I wrote our book, Orgasmic Birth, for this reason, because we wanted women to have a tool to take them through. And in the book, there are a series of sections of questions for women to ask themselves. And not only, you know, for challenges, but what are your pleasures? You know, how is your sexuality? How do you feel within your body? What's your body image? There are many deep layers in really being in our body, because in order to give birth well, you've got to be in your body. And we know it's the same hormones of sexuality. So just like to have good sex, we have to be in our body. We can't have good sex if we're in our mind. We all know that if we're thinking about our to-do list, we're thinking what our body looks like, we're thinking, it's very hard, if not impossible, to find incredible pleasure and certainly not orgasm. That in order to release to that place of sexual pleasure, whether it's on our own or with a partner, we have several criteria. We have to feel really safe. We have to feel private so that there aren't strangers coming in at any moment. We have to feel unobserved. Even our own mind can't observe us because we start thinking and we can't be in our mind. So our book and a lot of what I teach is the same circumstances you need to enjoy pleasure in everyday life are really the things you need to birth safely, easily, and with pleasure. And Sarah Buckley is someone else that I always recommend people visit, and her book as well, Gentle Birth, Gentle Mothering, because she talks about those three elements, safety, privacy, and unobserved, are key for any animal to birth safely. But between our book, her book, Ina Mae Gaskin, another kind of hero of mine, and her book, there are many guides. And interesting, I just actually filmed a virtual orgasmic birth conference that will be available in October. And we brought together 25 different experts, all working on different aspects of body, mind, and spirit to prepare yourself to bring, I believe, pleasure to life, because we give birth to projects, we give birth in many ways in our life, not only the creative energy of a new being and bringing a new person into the world. And I think these are all tools that are valuable for all of us to bring more pleasure every day.
Yeah, I mean, what you're talking about to me sounds a lot like the meditative flow. And, you know, people find it in all sorts of different activities they do when you kind of disconnect from the language of the ego that keeps yapping away into your consciousness. And instead, you're more focusing on the experience, the moment, the flow, and just like being totally present in the now. Yet at the same time, I feel like pregnancy is this incredibly not only private but solitary and almost like lonely place to be. And I think that for a lot of people, they don't necessarily have the time or the resources or the capability to kind of really delve into themselves and ask these incredibly hard and complex philosophical questions like before they give birth. And so then you have the medical establishment kind of almost like excusing the fact that society doesn't give mothers and women the time to just be pregnant and give birth and not have to like participate in the same way they always have.
Yeah, I agree so much. And, you know, there are two things that I would say that are now available to women, because pregnancy should be the last time you feel lonely. We know from science, a model called centering pregnancy, gathering women together that are pregnant to share their joys, their pleasure, their concerns, their fears, their desires. Not only is healthy just to share that emotion with other women that are going through the experience, but it actually is the best prenatal care out there. Women that are in these groups have a lower rate of preterm birth, they have healthier babies, and they have easier births. So just getting women together and talking and sharing, as you say, on that emotional level, I believe should be an essential part of prenatal care and education. And to address that, we're actually, that's one of the things I'm working on right now. That's been a crazy summer of fun and pleasure, but challenge is an online orgasmic birth class where people will be able to come and be guided by me and many other experts for 12 weeks and actually go together as a group, so that they'll have abilities weekly and online to have this community to share those thoughts and desires and challenges. And so why I think in-person is always best, I think for many people who don't have that in-person ability to go with like-minded people, they'll be able to join us in an online environment.
It's interesting how sort of changing birth and how we approach it touches on so many different aspects in our society, like having communities of women and, you know, how we approach sexuality, and also the bridge of sexuality and spirituality. I think, you know, a lot of people can't make that connection, and I think it would be a wonderful thing to join that in the birth experience.
Yes, and we always say it's sacred sexuality, and I agree with you, thank you, that really is a link, and we need to talk about it. I mean, sadly, especially in America, you know, we are definitely a culture that, you know, doesn't want to talk about sexuality in the broadest way, and certainly not in relationship to birth. So we've really done a disservice to women to disconnect birth from our sexuality. Other parts of the world are more free. They speak about sexuality in a more sacred way, honor it as a healthy part of our whole life, body, mind, and spirit, and then are more open to speaking about that connection in the birth environment. But it is a real missing piece.
I mean, I wonder a little bit about, you know, the influence of Freudian psychology on birth, and how, you know, he had this kind of understanding of the woman as this hysterical being who like can't understand her own emotions and is in the state of like manic frenzy all the time. And not only that, he had a lot of sort of thoughts and ideas about the relationship of sexuality between children and their parents, and how, you know, as a young child, your first time that you fall in love is with your parents. And now that I have a kid and I've been a kid myself, I'm just like, I don't know, man, I've never felt anything sexual towards my parents, nor does the love my child has for me feel sexual at all. Yet at the same time, like, I think there is this kind of zeitgeist in American culture where we're very afraid of like connecting sexuality with our children. So, I mean, what kind of backlash or feedback have you gotten around that subject, or people just being really uncomfortable about the idea of like, oh, your baby is an orgasm for you? Or like, how has there been like some sort of understanding from people that aren't necessarily your target audience that you've had to, have you been able to like convert them to be more open-minded, or, you know, how have you been dealing with people who are kind of closed-minded in that arena?
Well, one thing I love about orgasmic birth is it opens up great discussions, and it's not necessarily my feeling in creating the film and the book that I wanted to convert people. What I wanted is everyone to find their own path, and I hope that orgasmic birth creates a platform to have a discussion and hold all our cultural, religious, spiritual beliefs and values and find some way to maybe open up to new ideas and then, you know, integrate them in the way that feels safe and comfortable for everyone. So I love how you started off in saying that, you know, there's all different aspects of love. And not all aspects of love are sexual. And so one of the things that I often talk to people about is that when you birth a baby, if your body triggers pleasure, it's not this sexual thing with your child. It's really you're being flooded with the hormones of love, and it's you birth your child in love. We distinguish between that was sexual with our baby and that was just loving. And a question I often ask to people is that culturally, it feels very safe for most people to talk about birth as the most horrible pain they've ever felt, and to constantly tell their child that they caused them all this pain. And so I always just ask people to reflect, why are you comfortable kind of having your child associate your initial relationship with pain? And yet if there was kind of happiness, pleasure, joy, or bliss, does that feel challenging? And that go deep within that. Just recently, I was interviewed by Eminem's rap radio on Sirius, and it ended up being a lot of relatively young men, and it was definitely pushing them outside their comfort zone. I mean, one of them even said to me, he called up and he said, you know, I don't know how I would feel if my mother told me she came when I was being born, you know. And there was this interesting discussion, but there were a whole lot of guys that when I said, how did you feel if it was painful? They were like, you know, I never thought about it that way. And I never thought about distinguishing it from sexual to just joy and happiness and pleasure. And I said, yeah, we're missing a whole piece of vocabulary and language. And we can frame this in a way. And although it is a woman's body, I mean, I also said to the guys, think about if I told you you were going to have feelings, sensations of all kinds in the next 24 hours in your penis, but it had nothing to do with sex. Would you buy it? And they all laughed. They're like, no. And I'm like, well, then why do you think women should have this incredible, intense, amazing sensations and feelings and pressure in their vagina, but it's not okay to talk about it as a part of their sexuality? So that little discussion I had for like 30 minutes with some random men who happened to call in, really you could see huge shifts happen when they began to be asked questions, and then I hope they'll find their own way to integrate it. But a lot of them said by the end, it was like amazingly shifted their thought process. I don't know where it went to, but it shifted.
I wonder sometimes if we mistakenly associate pain with purity and virtue, and it's like the ultimate being a martyr. It's like the mother. It makes you more virtuous to be in suffering than to be in pleasure. And so I think that's why there's this guilt associated with having it be a pleasurable experience. It's because you're not, you know, you're not going through this trial in order to become this pure mother. It has to, you know, it should be painful if it's correct and right. I'm wondering also if you've had any experience with doctors who have sort of, you know, absorbed your approach and are trying to incorporate it into hospitals. Because I think, you know, it is a huge leap for some people to be, you know, go whole Karma Sutra, or go whole, you know, whole orgasmic birth in their process, and they still want to be in a hospital setting. Is it possible to do that in a hospital setting?
Yes, another fantastic question, because there are many doctors that our film has really touched and transformed them. And many of them have said to me, you know, I don't know about calling this approach orgasmic birth, but can we call it organic? Can we call it holistic? And I said, you know, I'm open. Call it whatever you want. But really what it's about is really bringing a lot more love, privacy, dignity, respect to women, putting women as the center, allowing women to move and sing and dance and vocalize and use their body in the creative way it was intended to birth their baby, and have the doctor and the technology like a lifeguard at the beach. You know, there, but you don't even see them, because if you're doing well, you don't need them. But certainly when you do, in that rare small percentage, they're there to help. And there are some doctors, nurses, midwives that are making incredible shifts to create more of what I call the birth ambiance, the birth space within a hospital that is going to support women to take birth back and birth in that way. I think when caregivers get an experience and can see women do this, which is what the film, I mean, I can't tell you how many doctors said to me they'd never seen births like this in their life. But isn't that sad that they never knew what birth could really be? And if you don't know what it can be, then you don't create the opportunity for it to happen. So I will say that sadly in America, the percentage of hospitals that provide the kind of care, support, nurturing, love, respect, and that's needed to have a pleasurable birth in a hospital is small. But the good news is it's growing. And if women and men would demand it, would really question and say, you know, I deserve this. These are what I consider your rights in childbirth, to birth the way that you want, not on this industrialized conveyor belt of childbirth we've created. And most women think going to the hospital is going to give them individualized care, and they don't realize they're hopping on a conveyor belt that's trying to conform everybody to this easy model for the hospital, which is not always easy for you as a woman to birth in. So we all need to speak up and speak out and change it, because it is completely possible to make it happen.
I mean, I think it's really interesting what you're saying, Deborah, about the idea of doctors being uncomfortable to call it an orgasmic birth, and the direct connection of what Grace was just mentioning about, like, the perception of mother as martyr. And you have this kind of religious understanding of the original sin, and that birth is supposed to be painful because of this original sin of Eve that has obviously permeated culture. I mean, at least in, not necessarily just in Christianity, I think that in, like, many different religious understandings of birth, there's not only this, like, woman is supposed to suffer, but there's also an intense fear around female sexuality and especially the female orgasm. And when you look at, like, you know, like, even the ancient Greeks, they were always kind of wondering, like, who has a better orgasm, like, men or women? And I think there is this kind of, like, not only fear around female sexuality, but, like, an inadequacy that men feel around it. And, like, you know, one of the reactions I got when talking about this with different men is just, like, oh, my God, I would feel my penis would feel so inadequate to just think of, like, my wife having an orgasm with that baby's head. You know, like, and I mean, to me, I was like, what are you talking about? But I did feel like it was a very real fear that they had about, like, their own inadequacy. So, I mean, like, what do you think about in terms of, like, sexuality and pleasure? And I really like the distinction that you made between, like, this isn't necessarily a sexy orgasm, it's a love orgasm. But, you know, just like with the conversations you had with men and just in your own experience with couples and stuff, how to, at least within this micro community, break those barriers of, like, not feeling so afraid of a woman's orgasm and intimidated by it, really.
I think what you see in the film and what I'm finding is that when men realize that they can help the labor to actually be easier by helping her to release these hormones and to bring more joy and pleasure to birth, and that their role in making the baby was to love her and make the baby, and their role in birthing the baby is to love her and birth the baby, and they feel more engaged in the process, I find that the men become more and more open to that if she does find some pleasure. I mean, I've been with a guy who looked at me at one point and he goes, I recognize that expression. And I was like, I bet you do. And how do you feel? He said, awesome. Like, they can also grow into realizing that their own barriers to this, how can they learn to accept this and be an intimate part and a sacred part of birth going in a safe, easy, pleasurable way. But I hear you. We have, you know, we say that hormadonna complex. I mean, how many people, I hear it again and again from women, had this great wild sex life. That's how they got pregnant. And the minute they're a mother, they're expected that some of that shouldn't happen anymore.
right? Like, don't you have a slutty birth?
Right. And it's not even the birth. It's like 6 months later, you're a mother now and you're breastfeeding. And like, now those breasts are different, or, you know, so it's a real deeper issue that we have to address in really bringing women's sexuality, as you say, out and understanding it and helping women and their partners, whatever gender their partners are, to feel really comfortable with how they can bring this in their own sacred way to birth and beyond, because this is a doorway into parenthood that's going to have to continue this discussion a lot.
I mean, like, it's interesting because, as you were saying beforehand, the history of birth is more women supporting women. And now in modern times, especially in American Western culture, men are involved in the birth process, but they just kind of stand there and watch, and they're just like, I don't know what to do. And maybe they get to cut the cord if they haven't passed out. So the idea that, like, if we're going to be involving men in the birth process, why not involve them in facilitating her, at least not only pleasure, but management of pain just by love and connection and physicality and sexuality, I do think that's kind of empowering for a guy. So he's not just some bumbling fool that doesn't have any sort of participation except for a witness to his wife's or partner's birth.
I have to say, one of the things that I thought I benefited from and my husband benefited from in my birth process was we did the Bradley method, which is like a 12-week intense class about sort of partner-assisted birth. And I do. I think it's an incredible switch and one that can only help the birth process if a man becomes in service to it, you know, puts themselves in a position of service. And yeah, I think that made a huge difference.
I love that word too, the way in service, you know, and really understanding that they are, and in a beautiful way, right? Did your husband feel empowered through?
Well, yeah. He drove the car that I had the baby in, but yeah, he was involved in the process.
So one question we had was, how did you personally get involved in this crusade or this philosophy?
Well, for me, it really started from being a little girl. I was really blessed that my great-grandmother, at the time I was with a lot, she is a little Italian woman, and she had come over from Italy when she was in her late teens, got married, and had 8 children. And at that time in the early 1900s in the United States, her 8 children were born at home on the Upper East Side in New York City. And that's just where birth happened, right? It wasn't a choice. And most people don't realize that we're really only a couple generations away from birth happening at home with those that the women invited in their own surroundings. And her birth stories were beautiful. She talked about moving and dancing and then just leaning over the kitchen sink and the midwife would catch the baby. And I never heard fear from her. I heard like work and challenge, but I heard joy and ecstasy and bliss. So her stories were really powerful. And then my grandmother had a home birth, just not in her house. They had moved at that time to New Jersey, which they called the country back then, which really is suburbia now. And because there were too many women now giving birth, they went to the family practice doctor's house and had a home birth there, which for me is like a birth center. And then, you know, I was the first baby born in a hospital because I came at a time that shift had happened and we lost all home birth. We lost our midwives and everyone was really brought into this medical assembly line. And lucky for me, my mother labored at home with her own mother and grandmother there. So they wouldn't let her go. They kept shoving her in the shower and telling her to walk and move. And she got there and I was born a few minutes later. So when it came time for me to give birth, I hadn't bought the whole system of pain and fear. Like, it wasn't part of my vocabulary. It wasn't part of my DNA. My body believed that birth was healthy, whole, powerful, awesome. And I couldn't wait to do it. So I won't tell you the whole story. I had to challenge the system to really get the birth that I wanted at that time, but I did. And I emerged from birth going, we're being duped as women. And I began this kind of journey becoming a childbirth educator, a doula trainer, and wanting to bring different messages out. And in that path, I kept hearing Ina Mae Gaskin's words about orgasmic birth and hearing others that actually were before me in giving voice in a strong way to pleasure in birth. And it just touched me so much that the idea to have the film, it's interesting, but it wasn't in my conscious mind. I was literally sound asleep, and I woke up at 2 a.m. with a vivid dream of making this documentary. And I shook my husband, and I was like, honey, I have to make a film. And he just laughed, and he said, go back to sleep. And he really thought in the morning that would be it. But the film idea was so vivid, and it felt so powerful, and it felt so right that it was the time to bring this out and really give a voice to all women, men, and partners to dialogue that we're missing pieces of birth. We've been really duped in a system that has brought us so much fear that we need to address.
I think it is a really powerful film, and it's something that people are able to connect to. I think when I've talked to friends who don't know a lot about natural birth, they can't really connect to it. But when they hear orgasmic birth, it definitely piques their interest. So I think just drawing them to being exposed to natural birth by that title and that notion sort of definitely opens a whole new door. So thank you. I think it's so needed, and it's definitely a powerful example.
Yeah, I think the profundity is that if people know that this is possible, whether or not they necessarily anticipate their own orgasmic birth or not, just knowing about this possibility, I think, is revolutionary for women and men to understand. So we love your film. Please watch it. Follow up on her website. Anything else you want to plug for our audience to get connected?
Yeah, I would say definitely join our Orgasmic Birth weekly e-news. Get us on Facebook and look for our new. It's called Pain to Power, an online orgasmic birth experience to really take you deeper.
And your website is .com or .org?
Yeah, orgasmicbirth.com.
Okay. Well, this has been an orgasmic conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much.